Welcome to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Our team's goal is to present science-based information about gardening and all things nature in New York's Hudson Valley. Hosts Gene and Tim, along with team members Teresa and Linda, are master gardener volunteers for New York's Columbia and Greene counties. So if you're interested in gardening or nature or nuggets of information about what's happening outside your door, settle in. Enjoy the conversation. Whatever the season, we have something to say.
Hi, and welcome to Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. I'm Tim Kenalty.
And I'm Jean Thomas.
Hey, what's on the show today, Jean?
I get to come talk about phlox and rudbeckia and subulata and divaricata.
It's all Greek to me.
Exactly.
I love that. It's all Greek to me. You're going to talk about how those plants relate to their names.
That's right. And then we're getting to talk about more interesting things. The next segment is about trekking, and it's Heidi again.
Heidi Bach, Trekking the Trails.
And she's going to Siegel Klein, and I don't know anything about that.
It's in Ghent, New York. Mm-hmm. I know it very well because we did some cutting of invasives there, and we planted a meadow and some great flowers. It's a really nice place to go if you want a really flat walk, and it's a fairly small trail. A lot of people go there for their dogs, and she's going to talk us all about what do you see on trails at Siegel Klein Kill in Ghent, New York.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Teresa gets down and dirty.
And deep.
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 It's a deep subject.
Yeah, she's talking about root crops today.
Like potatoes and onions and garlic and beets.
I love all of those. It sounds like a stew to me, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
And just in general, how do you deal with root crops and how do you grow them and what's different from root crops and as compared to other crops?
Yeah, because everything you want, you can't see, so you have to know how to take care of it, right?
That would require too much imagination for me. So I'm going to listen in.
We'll have to.
Terrific.
You're listening to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Stay tuned for It's All Greek to Me.
It's all Greek to me. Today, we continue taking a look at some of our most common perennial garden plants. Last time, we talked about coneflowers, peonies, daylilies, and hostas. The choices for today are the phlox and the rudbeckia, black-eyed Susans. Originally, I only meant to discuss the tall garden phlox, Phlox paniculata. Like the coneflowers, phlox are North American natives, with one lonely exception, a species that comes from Siberia. The genus name phlox means flame in Greek, referring to some of the flowers that are very vivid in color. The paniculata refers to the clusters of flowers that adorn the stems. These are loosely branched flower heads, often many to a stem. There are many colors available on garden phlox, and since they're from native plants, they will often escape into nature. I've been chasing mine around the yard for years. It seems they develop stealth colonies, but they're always beautiful, so I don't mind. For some reason, I forgot, there are several other phlox we grow in our gardens. Creeping phlox, or phlox subulata, meaning awl or needle-shaped, referring to the shape of the leaves, is a ground cover type plant that makes mats of color in the spring. It's also called moss phlox because of the mats of flowers. A third phlox we often see in gardens is the woodland phlox, Phlox divaricata. This little beauty likes shade and blooms briefly in the spring. The name woodland is very apt. It wants a shady spot tucked in with other spring flowers and will expand over time to make a clump of usually bluish flowers peeking out from the shade. The species name describes the spreading out pattern of growth as opposed to the clump formation of the creeping phlox. And last but not least is the Rudbeckia fulgida. They're also called black-eyed Susans or Gloriosa daisy. Another prairie native, the genus Rudbeckia has several species that we use in our gardens. The name Rudbeckia was given to the genus by Linnaeus to honor Olof Rudbeck, a Swedish botanist. The fulgida description means shining. We also grow Rudbeckia hirta, which is less reliably a perennial. The herda refers to its hairy stem. If you notice that they're both sometimes called coneflower and they look a lot alike, the Rudbeckia and the Echinacea are actually very closely related in the Asteraceae family. And that's it for this time. Talk to you later.
You're listening to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Stay tuned for Trekking the Trails.
Welcome back to Trekking the Trails. I'm Heidi Bach, Director of Land Stewardship and Community Partnerships with the Columbia Land Conservancy. And this month, we'll be visiting Siegel-Kleinkill Conservation Area, a 55-acre property on County Route 21 in Ghent. This site has 1.5 miles of trails leading through hayfields, a mature floodplain forest, and a meadow restoration area. Today, we'll head right from the parking lot along the meadow loop. This mowed path will take you along the edge of a 25-acre hayfield that is currently being tended by a local farmer. This time of year, you may notice a variety of later season flowers in bloom, like asters and goldenrod. But for this trek, we're going to head into the woods. As you walk along the meadow loop, you will enter a different kind of forest than we've visited so far. This is a floodplain forest. This type of forest occurs when there is an area of low ground next to a body of water, like a stream, that floods when water level rises. The influx of water deposits nutrient-rich silt and plant matter, making a fertile ground for a variety of plant species to thrive. As you look around, you may notice the woodland is comprised mostly of American sycamore trees. They stand out because, unlike other trees, whose bark is elastic and grows as the tree gets bigger, the sycamore sheds layers of bark as it expands with age, leading to its molted, multicolored appearance in green, white, brown, and gray tones. You will likely find other trees and shrubs that don't mind getting their feet wet, such as red maples, green ash, and dogwoods. As you wander through the floodplain forest, you'll come upon a few spur trails, which take you to the Kleinkill. The term kill means riverbed in Dutch. Take some time to explore the stream, which provides important habitat for brook trout, crayfish, green herons, and many other animals. This area, where the trees and stream meet, create an important and delicate ecosystem known as a riparian or streamside corridor. The waters of the stream support the trees, shrubs, and other plants, which then drop their leaves into the water and feed insects and other macroinvertebrates, which are an important food source for trout and other animals. This vegetation also acts as shade, keeping the water cool, as well as a buffer for runoff, sediment, and pollution, preventing it from entering the stream. The root system of this vegetation also helps to control water flow and avoid erosion, allowing both ecosystems to thrive. This means that if either the stream or the upland surrounding it are impacted, there are implications for the health of the other, as they rely on each other to keep flora and fauna happy and healthy in the area. For more than 30 years, the Columbia Land Conservancy has worked to inspire our community to more deeply connect with, respect, and protect the natural world. We collaborate with partners and volunteers to improve the health of the land, ensure a thriving farm economy, create environmental education opportunities, provide access to outdoor experiences, and support municipal leaders in conservation-minded decision-making. To learn more, visit clctrust.org or find us on Facebook and Instagram.
You're listening to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Stay tuned for The Veggie Patch.
Welcome back to The Veggie Patch, a segment on growing edible foods. I'm Teresa Golden, a Master Gardener volunteer with Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene County, and today let's focus on crops that grow under the soil. Root crops take time and some effort to grow, but they're worth it. As the name implies, they're grown specifically for their edible roots. They are a cool season veggie and thus grow best in early spring or late summer into fall. Examples of root crops include beets, radishes, carrots, horseradish, onions, shallots, parsnips, potatoes, rutabagas, sweet potatoes, and turnips. One of the advantages of root vegetables is that they can be harvested over a long period of time and don't take up too much space. But bear in mind that they don't all grow, look, or taste alike. The most common root vegetables have a taproot that is thick at the top and tapers to a point in the bottom. To grow undisturbed, taproots require a loose, rock-free soil. Examples of taproot crops include carrots, beets, some radishes, turnips, rutabagas, and parsnips. Potatoes are also a root crop, but they have tuberous roots and grow down vertically with one at the center and small ones coming off it. To grow effectively, they need damp, loose soil with ample drainage. You can grow tubers in garden beds, a grow bag, a 5-gallon bucket, or a deep flower pot. Onion and garlic are actually bulbs consisting of layers of or segments. These root crops grow just under the surface of the ground and produce a leafy stem above the ground. Garlic is a crop you plant in the fall for harvest in the following year, as it must overwinter. The best environment for growing bulbs is a deep garden bed with a large surface area and loose, well-drained soil. And finally, there are root crops with rhizomes, which are underground plant stems that send out runner stems which run horizontally along the soil surface. Common rhizomes include asparagus, rhubarb, ginger, and hops. Grow these root vegetables in raised beds so they don't interfere with the rest of your veggies. One key to success with root crops is to know your growing season. Most root crops grow best in cool weather. For instance, beets, radishes, carrots, and turnips are cool weather crops that provide a good harvest in a relatively small space. White potatoes also love cool weather, so plant them as soon as the ground thaws in late winter. Sweet potatoes, however, require a long, hot growing season, but some varieties do well in the summer heat. Turnips grow and taste best when planted in July or August for fall harvesting. Most root vegetables require direct sowing and may germinate slowly. Make sure to grow them in full sun, as they tend to need at least 6 hours of direct sunlight each day. When planting, loosen the soil, removing any rocks and weeds to minimize competition for space and resources. If you have heavy soil, consider planting them in a raised bed. It helps to moisten the seedbed before sowing, and then providing frequent, even moisture through germination. Cover the seeds with a road cover, burlap, or glass clippings to help retain moisture while waiting for the seedlings to emerge. Spacing is key, as the closer the roots are together, the more slowly they will develop into a harvestable size. Thinning may be necessary to achieve correct spacing. Consistent watering is important too, and once harvested, remove the leaves. This will ensure that the moisture stays in the root and doesn't flow back into the shoot. Store root vegetables in a cool, dark place. As there are so many options with root vegetables, enjoy experimenting to see what works best for you and your family. Thanks for listening to The Veggie Patch. Until next time, nature calls.
That concludes another episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. We would like to thank Sandra Linnell and Devin Connolly from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties for production support. And a special thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. You can find links to any of the topics mentioned in this episode at our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org. Comments and suggestions for future topics may be directed to us at columbiagreenmgb@cornell.edu or on the CCE Master Gardener Volunteers of Columbia and Greene Counties Facebook page. For more information about Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties, visit our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org or visit us in Hudson or in Acre. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal programming and employment opportunities.